Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fight For Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today we are talking about WWE Money in the Bank and NXT Heatwave, which are both coming to you live this weekend from Toronto. So who else could I get to join me but from Poison Lana, Davey Portman. Hi, Davey. How are you?
Hello, 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 Steph. I'm doing pretty well. And I can tell you've been here for a little bit now because you just said Toronto and not Toronto.
That's so funny because about 10 minutes ago, Benno and I were having that conversation where he told me that. And then he said, you can hear it with Davey too.
The aim is to try and get a three syllable word into one syllable. You will get people just go Toronto. For the city. Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited. A lot of wrestling in town this weekend. And yeah, looking forward to going back to a few WWE shows.
Yeah, and we are having an actual heat wave here in Toronto. So very appropriate for this weekend. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm just back from New York. Last week, I was here predicting AEW Forbidden Door, which was, I think we capped off at like 14 matches. So this time, WWE, we've only got 5 on the card. But because Davey is an NXT expert that has been covering the NXT brand for, what is it now, 7 years?
6 years, I think. It was the first show I did was NXT TakeOver New Orleans. So wow. Yeah, just over 6 years now.
You've been through black and gold, 2.0, everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you are the man to talk to about Heatwave. But we're going to start our predictions with WWE Money in the Bank. So everyone in the chat, let me know your predictions. You can send in a super chat. I'll read out an error. I want to see who you all think is going to take that briefcase for both the men and the women. And of course, you may even want to, after hearing our wonderful analysis and predictions, you may want to put a bet on. And if you do, you should use our great sponsor, Bet Online. And here to tell us all about it is our overlord, Sean Watson.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. betonline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. All right, Davey, here we go. I know I said I'd do the Wikipedia order, but I actually don't like that, so I'm going to go backwards.
That's fair.
On there, so we can end with the Money in the Bank matches. First off, happy Independence Day to everyone in America watching. So who better to talk about first than Cody Rhodes? We have a 6-man tag team match where it's Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline, which is any 3 of Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and Jacob Fatu. So who have you got for this one, Davey? Who do you think will be the 3 Bloodline members we see?
Yeah, I would hope we're not getting Tonga Loa in this match, just for a quality point of view. Bless you, Camacho.
Is this a whole bit set up just to not embarrass Tonga?
Maybe, yeah, very possible. I see it probably, yeah, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu, although they could have, they're all 4 are going to be involved anyway. So Fatu could be sort of the guy on the outside who's just causing mayhem. I see the Bloodline winning this one. I think we've got to build up their dominance. We're building up to, you know, when eventually Roman comes back. And I could totally see Solo Sikoa pinning Cody potentially here to set up a match down the line.
That would be big. I also have the Bloodline winning. I definitely think we're getting Jacob Fatu in this match, and that Tongaloa is going to be the one who sits out. I think the Bloodline should absolutely win. I think with Jacob Fatu, I think they've made him already in such a short period of time, they've made him seem so scary that I could see him being the one that gets the pinfall. I'm not sure if they'd have him pin Cody because that's huge. I think maybe the person I could see taking the pin is Orton, just to set up something where he turns on Cody out of like some kind of anger of how it goes down, maybe. And then, because I think we are eventually getting Orton and Cody as a match at one of the pay-per-views. But yeah, I'm with you that I definitely think the Bloodline have to win this one. And it's going to be very cool to see Jacob Fatu wrestle his first WWE match.
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, I think Cody and Randy at SummerSlam makes a whole lot of sense. I believe I saw a couple of weeks ago it being reported that maybe Bad Blood is coming back in October, which if you're starting a feud with Randy and Cody now in August, you know, you could always peak that in a Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood or something like that down the line, which I think makes a lot of sense. I see Derek in the chat saying about Solo getting the SummerSlam match, which I think a lot of people are theorizing right now. I don't know if I want to see that yet, and I don't think Solo is going to take... I think you book yourself in a bit of a corner by doing that, because I think you want to keep Solo pretty strong at the moment for the eventual return of Roman. And I don't think he needs the title. And I don't think Cody's dropping the title anytime soon either.
I think it could get pretty messy to put Solo in a match against Cody, just because I think that Solo, yeah, he's the leader, but I think most people's perception of it is that he's maybe not the man for the job. I think we've all kind of been waiting for Jacob Fatu to come in. So I think, yeah, putting him against Cody already might not be the best for him. But I am excited for Bad Blood to come back, because that was an iconic VHS cover with The Undertaker holding his own head. And I'd like to see Cody Rhodes recreate that.
Holding his head?
Holding his head, yeah. All right, up next we have Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker. This is for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm going to let you start with this one as well, Davey, just because you've got to be a bit of an expert on Braun at this point. How do you think he's been doing on the main roster and his development?
I honestly think it's been one of the best call-ups for a long time. He was someone that I thought showed a lot of promise in NXT and kept on improving and kept on... whether it being in-ring or character-wise, like the partnership with Baron Corbin brought a lot out of him. I think he was a pretty good babyface, but a terrifying heel as well. So I think his NXT days really kind of got him ready for this position, and you gotta go with him. I love Sami Zayn, but I think Sami needs to be freed up for a potential Bloodline reunion once they're getting the band back together. So I think Braun just steamrolls him. And I mean, Goldberg is one of his favorite wrestlers. And, you know, I think you can do the similar sort of thing where he starts with the IC title. He could eventually be a double champ down the line. But yeah, definitely keep this streak going with Braun Breaker.
It must be very, like, rewarding for you to, following NXT, seeing how, like, Braun Breaker, Tiffany Stratton's another good example, like, because there was definitely a time when your guys were getting called up and it felt like it was for no reason and they had nothing for them. And like those two in particular, and the men and the women's side, they have done really well with, like, in my opinion, Braun and Tiffany.
I think so. And I think, say what you will about 2.0 and current day NXT, I think they're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And like when I used to do acting, you were always told, start at 10, we'll tell you to bring it down. It's a lot easier to tell someone to bring it up. And I think that's exactly what that 2.0 show was. There was a lot of ridiculous stuff going on, but it's trying to push people who aren't natural performers out of their comfort zone to try different characters and see what sticks. And Braun Breaker and Tiffany Stratton are two of the best call-ups NXT have ever had. Yeah. I love Black and Gold, but I'd be doing my NXT show being, I don't want to lose Johnny Gargano and Ciampa and Adam Cole because I don't know what they're going to do with them on the main roster. Whereas I think now you see people being much more ready. There's none of this name changing or gimmick change as soon as you go up to the main roster. It's just plucking you as you are and putting you on Raw and SmackDown. And it's been working.
Yeah, I think that as good as Black and Gold was, it wasn't really what NXT was meant to be. Like, it wasn't really the purpose of it. And now it feels like, yeah, an actual developmental brand where we're seeing people get ready for the main roster and then they come on the main roster and all their hard work is, like, put to good use. And you see someone like Ron doing so incredibly well. I think he is going to win. I think that Sammy is obviously going to get, like, so much support, especially with it being in Canada. And I think, like, really pushing Braun as a heel, it would be good to have him, like, take the title off him here. And, yeah, it frees Sammy up for more bloodline-related stuff, which I think he will get into eventually, especially with Kevin kind of being on the Cody team.
Yeah.
Too. Next, I think this one is kind of hard to predict. Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins. And we have stipulations here for the World Heavyweight Championship. So if Priest wins, Rollins will never challenge for the title as long as Priest is champion. If Rollins wins, Priest must leave the Judgment Day. So this one, it's so difficult. Like, firstly, Seth, good for him for not doing what Cody Rhodes did in AEW and just saying he'd never challenge for the championship again. Like, no, just never challenge that current champion. Yeah. Don't, like, knock yourself out like that. I really do enjoy all the Judgment Day stuff that's going on. I'm a big fan of, like, the Liv and Dom storyline and how it's, like, affecting all the other pieces and Balor and Priest. I think that Priest is going to retain. I think that the title is definitely going to move very soon to someone else, not Seth Rollins, but I think they don't want to beat him too soon. I think if Damian is going to lose this title on Saturday, I don't think Seth is going to be the person that does it. And I kind of want to see him retain. I don't think we need another Rollins reign already as well. And I think the Judgment Day thing, I would rather him leave in a different way than just doing, like, oh, he lost a match and the stipulation was he has to leave the Judgment Day. Like, I'm not a big fan of that, considering, like, all the investment they've done in that group. So I'm going to go for Damian Priest. What about you, Davey?
Well, I was saying on the Tuesday show I did on Post Wrestling that I think you're going to have Drew win Money in the Bank and then cash in on whoever wins this because it adds to his hypocrite kind of character. But I was completely forgetting that Gunther has that SummerSlam match. And I think that's what you got to look at. And if I'm booking SummerSlam, I'm booking Seth v. Gunther. So I think Seth wins this. I think you then set up a ready, like, a top-end feud for Damian Priest coming out of this, so he's not going to be forgotten about right away. You know, you can have the segment on Raw when he's leaving and it's all emotional, and then the Judgment Day attack him, and we could potentially go to a Finn Balor Damian Priest match at SummerSlam. So I'm going to go with Rollins for this one.
Yeah, I do agree with Scott. Like, the match placement, where they put this in the card, if it does come after the Men's Money in the Bank match, it definitely makes you think more that something will happen as far as a cash in. But it's one that we're split on, but I think it's definitely intriguing. I can see either guy. I don't think I'd be, like, disappointed if Seth wins, but I just think that Damian, he's doing pretty well. And I think for now it would be best to just keep it on him. We have, okay, we're on the Money in the Bank. These cards are so short. And I mean that. It's just so nice to have, like, just really tight cards. Women's Money in the Bank match. Io Sky versus Chelsea Green versus Lyra Valkyria versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Zoe Stark. I think that there's two names that stand out here for me. And it's Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green. And I have to say that I used to be such a Chelsea Green hater, and in the past, like, month, I've just completely turned a corner on her where I'm like, I actually do like you now. So I'd kind of like to see her win it because she can definitely do the coward having the briefcase in that way, because it is often hard when a baby face has the briefcase and ends up cashing in, you know, because it's kind of a heelish thing to do. So I could see Chelsea winning, but the other person I could see is, of course, Tiffany Stratton, who they've done such great things with. And it looked like she was going to get something big out of Queen of the Ring and then didn't. And I think maybe this will be her time. Oh, what do you think on this one, Davey?
I'm kind of having the same thoughts as you right now. I think Tiffany's fantastic. They seem to have dialed her down a little bit since the Instagram incident, I would say. Yeah. But I think looking at this lineup, she makes the most sense. You know, Money in the Bank is a gimmick that always works better on a heel. I can already see it now, her turning it into her like Money in the Bank handbag kind of thing, like all white and pink and bejeweled to just fit her character. Chelsea Green, I think, as like an outside bet, does kind of make a lot of sense. It will definitely get a good reaction here in Toronto, her being a Canadian girl. And I think she's a character that could have some fun with it. But at the end of the day, I don't see necessarily as a viable champion down the line. Io Sky, she's had her run at this point. I don't think she needs it. Naomi, you can always set up something with her and Bayley down the line, because they're obviously very good friends on screen. But she's kind of fallen down the card quite a bit since her return. So I'm going to go with Tiffany for this.
Yeah, I think that either Tiffany or Chelsea is like a pretty safe bet. The other thing that makes me think Tiffany as well is like the relationship she's been having with Nia Jax. I think it works. You know, them both having a gimmick. So yeah, I think this match is going to be really fun though. I always love a ladder match if it has Io Sky in it. So
oh yeah,
definitely excited for this one. Sorry guys if I have frozen. I don't know why, but as long as you can still hear me, I think I'm pretty good. Let's go now to the men's Money in the Bank match. We have Jey Uso versus Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade versus Chad Gable versus LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre. I'll let you start on this one, Davey. Who have you got?
Yeah, I think this one's difficult. As I said, if Gunther wasn't going to SummerSlam, I would go with Drew because I could see Drew and Punk for the title. I think Punk's going to somehow screw McIntyre again in this match, so I'm going to rule him out. I don't see Melo, Andrade, or Chad Gable at this point holding this. So it's really between LA Knight and Jey Uso, and I would just go with who's the most popular right now. We already see all the Yeet in the Bank graphics for this show, and if you're going with a heel and Tiffany Stratton with the women's, I'd go with a baby face, and I think Jey Uso could be the one winning this thing.
I'm really torn on this one because of Drew being in it. And like, do you think we're getting a CM Punk appearance at this
yes, show? Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too. So that means he's probably going to cost Drew. And I don't think that they need a title going into the stuff they have. Like, I think that they're literally doing the best storyline in wrestling right now, even though one of them is injured. Yeah. As on TV every week. So I can see, yeah, Punk interfering and costing Drew. I think that LA Knight, for me, is the one because I feel that he's so immensely popular, but he never seems to, like, actually get something big, and I think Money in the Bank briefcase is good for him to have, and I think if he holds it for long enough, he could probably get away with cashing in at a time when that title is like a little less hot, you know.
Yeah,
so I think, yeah, for me, I think it's going to be LA Knight, but I wouldn't be fully surprised if it's Drew McIntyre and somehow Punk trying to run everything for him actually backfires and he finally gets something.
I could see LA Knight winning the US title off of Logan Paul. So that's the only thing that would give me hesitation with that, because I know they're feuding right now as well.
I forgot about that he could cash in on anything. So he could actually cash in on Logan Paul. So yeah, I'm still going with LA Knight.
All right.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get this camera sorted.
It's all good.
I know. I'm sorry. We're done with Money in the Bank. So let's move on to NXT Heatwave, which is coming up on Sunday. So after we've gone through all this Money in the Bank fun, at least it's only 5 matches, we're going to be up for NXT Heatwave. And we're going to start off with Carmen Petrovic and Ariana Grace versus JC Jane and Jasmine Nye. Have I said that right?
Jasmine Nix.
Nix.
Yes.
Oh, like the cosmetics. Okay, you go first, Davey. Who do you think is going to win this one?
First of all, you have no idea how difficult it is writing all these names every week on a rundown. You get a name like Jasmine Nix. Is that spelt Jasmine Nicks? No, it's Jazmynyx. And every blooming name on this show is like that, where you've got to double check everything. But yeah, I think the story going into this is both Carmen and Ariana are local Toronto girls, and they don't have a match for this show. They're, you know, Ariana's an annoying heel. Carmen's been a babyface, and they teased that she was going to team up with her bestie. And she kind of went, Natalia, isn't she in kind of contract negotiations right now and not on the show? But they're teaming the two local girls together to take on JC Jane and her protege, Jasmine Nix, who's a former women's soccer player. So her finish is like a Pele kick and stuff like that. JC recently got the mask from Cody Rhodes, the dashing mask, because she recently had her nose busted open. This is a pre-show match, and I don't see, there's not a whole lot of story going into here. So why not have the crowd start off happy by having the local girls win?
I think this, Dave, every time I see Ariana Grace, I do actually really like her. So I think I think she's also like a great pre-show act as well, to get the crowd started. But I do think she'll have a lot of support in Toronto. So yeah, I agree. I think it's Carmen and Ariana taking that one. We'll move on to the tag team match for the NXT Championship. We have Nathan Frazer and Axiom versus Chase University, Andre Chase and Duke Hudson. Chase University, they're pretty long lasting. Every time I watch NXT, I'm reminded that they're still a thing. But what do you think about this one? Are Andre and Duke going to take the tag titles?
They've been around now longer than an actual university degree, which is quite a long time for a gimmick in NXT. There's a couple of stories going on here. Nathan Frazer and Axiom. Frazer keeps on going for other championships. He's like fighting Xavier Woods for the Speed Championship. He challenged Tony D for the Heritage Cup. And Axiom's getting rather worked up about it because he's like, no, we're the tag champions and we should be focusing on that. On the other side, Chase University, Ridge Holland has just joined the group. He is banned from ringside because he keeps cheating on their behalf. And even though Chase, you are kind of a babyface group, he's cheating for them and they're not too happy about it. So he's been banned from ringside. I do see Ridge getting involved and I see Chase you winning, and that can lead to a Frazer and Axiom feud down the line. I am a little tired of the NXT tag team division. It was something that was once, you know, a real calling card. Obviously, you know, DIY and Revival happened at Scotiabank, where we're getting this show, and I really think it has fallen quite a bit since then. So going back to Chase U, it's a little bit yawn inducing. I just hope they, you know, they start really focusing on the tag division, because it used to be a real exciting thing in NXT.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any like tag teams that you see on the way up that you would like to like see in the title picture next?
Well, I've always been enjoying Idris and Malik, but they've just been booked to lose so many times. And it's now they've kind of got this bad luck gimmick. You know, they keep on, you know, we'll see a black cat or they'll break a mirror. So that's playing into it. I'd love them to just drop that and actually have a bit of attention, because they've been there a while now. They do have support from the fans. So I'd start to elevate them. And then you've got Tyson and Tyreek, who are two big lads who have been quite impressive on the couple of matches we've seen with them so far. And then maybe a team in the no quarter catch crew, like your Miles Bourne and Luca Crucifino. But they all, everyone seems at a kind of lower mid card level at this point in the tag division. So there's no real viable teams.
Okay, next up, we have a singles match for the NXT Women's North American Championship. Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka is definitely someone that impressed me like a lot every time I see her. But obviously, Kalani has just won the championship. So I don't know if they're ready to take it off her yet. But I don't know. I just feel like as someone that's not watching like week to week, I feel like Sol Ruka is someone like they heavily feature. So I think maybe she could win this one, but you're the expert. Who would you put your money on?
Yeah. Firstly, I do want to correct myself. So many NXT names, but I meant Miles Bourne and Tavion Heights from No Quarter Catch Crew. And then the Italian lads separately. I'm mixing my factions.
Dude, I don't want you getting comments in.
I know. Oh, this guy calls himself NXT expert. Yeah, I can hear it now. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. I think both women have in such a short space of time, and factor in Sol Ruka was out injured for the best part of a year as well.
Yeah.
They're really exciting, and you see the improvements every single match. They really remind me of Tiffany on just the trajectory of how much they're improving. Kalani, you know, came across a bit like Disney Channel to start with, just a very likable baby face, but a little bland as well. And I think her promo game's really stepped up recently. So I don't know if they're going to maybe like lean her towards being a little bit more of a heel in a bit. She's definitely showing a lot more confidence than she once was. I think it's way too early to take it off of her, though. So I would go with Kalani. But I think this is a match definitely to watch out for. And one of NXT's calling cards is the women's division. And these two are right at the top there. And if you've not checked them out, I would urge you to watch this match because I think it's going to deliver.
Absolutely. Next, we have another match where we have one of these last chance stipulations for the NXT North American Championship, Obafemi versus Wes Lee. If Femi wins, Lee can never challenge for the title as long as Femi is champion. Obafemi is someone that gets a lot of praise anytime people tune into NXT. He's really remarkable. They've really, really got something with this guy. Do you see him dropping this championship yet to Wes Lee?
Absolutely not. I think you've got to go with Obafemi here. He's been fantastic. Some of the power moves he has is so impressive. That spot, the like double electric chair at Stand and Deliver, was just how you don't blow your knees out doing that. But also just the presence he has. He's got such an aura about him, which you just can't really teach. And his promo game's been good. But I think Wes Lee needs to move on to the NXT Championship at this point. So I think he should lose to Oba. And then it's always weird when you lose a match for the lesser title to graduate to the like higher title. But he's got a challenge for that NXT Championship. So I would go with Obafemi winning here and keep the streak alive.
Yeah, and I think with Wes, like there's chances of stuff they could do with him regarding the TNA partnership.
Absolutely, Oba,
I would absolutely keep him champion. He is I now always think of Montel from WrestlePures when he was talking about Obafemi and fantasy booking him coming up to the main roster and said he wants it to be like the Nexus angle, but it's just Obafemi. He just kills,
just like, destroy everyone.
Destroy everyone, and that's how they introduce him. I'm actually excited to see him wrestle live and see what he's like live. I'd be very interested in seeing him in person.
His initial vignettes, because he had some vignettes and then disappeared for a while and then came back for this run. It was him stood in a field picking up like fridges and washing machines and just hurling it across. And they need to reuse them when he gets the call up, because it's just ridiculous, the strength of this man.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, we have for the NXT Women's Championship, Roxanne Perez versus Lola Vice. Who have you got for this one, Divi?
I think Roxanne continues her reign as champion. This felt, you know, the rumor was, you know, we saw Julia front row at Stand and Deliver. The talk was it was potentially going to be Julia and Roxanne Perez at Heatwave. Julia did have that hand injury, although I think she is advertised for dates coming up soon. But they've pulled away from that. I think that match is happening down the line, Julia and Roxanne. But, you know, as a replacement, I think they've done a pretty good job with Lola Vice. She's gradually turned herself babyface after the feud with Shayna. Cut a really emotional promo this week. The crowd like her. She's definitely got something about her, but I don't think it's time for her to be the champion yet. I do think there's still some seasoning she needs before being the main person here. And Roxanne is just, she's excelling actually as a heel. I think she's a natural babyface, but I think she's been working pretty well as a heel and is pretty consistent in ring. So I think you could definitely continue this championship reign, and I do want to see her and Julia down the line.
Yeah, I agree. I was super impressed with Lola Vice during the Shayna Baszler feud. I've always been a big fan of Shayna Baszler, and I really enjoyed their match at the last NXT show. Like, it was different, and she really impressed me with her skills, but I don't think that she is ready yet to be champion, and I think that definitely they're getting Julia in as soon as she's physically ready. And I think for someone of her caliber coming in, they need a really strong champion, like especially in ring, and Roxanne Perez is just the more experienced wrestler and frankly the better wrestler and the better promo. And like, Lola's gonna get there, so it's, you know, she's in NXT. If anything, like, Roxanne is probably surpassed NXT, but, you know, keep her around. If you're bringing in someone like Julia, and also, like, you need those people that are, like, probably past it to be there, like, for the division while everyone else kind of moves up. So I would not take the title off Roxanne. I think she's absolutely going to win. And maybe we'll have some kind of, maybe we'll see who her next challenger is, some kind of setup, because I did think that after the last pay-per-view, like, that was quite weird, the bit they did on NXT where, like, all the women started coming out.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
Just the conveyor belt of people. I want the title. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. I would love to see, like, someone like, you know, Julia, like, just stand up and be like, yeah, I'm taking it next, you know, something like that, rather than whatever that was. And do you think we're going to see our favorite general manager, Ava, in person in Toronto?
I don't know. Backstage probably, I think. I don't think we'll see her in ring.
I think they should bring her out and welcome us all to NXT Heatwave.
Okay. Start the show off hot.
Start it off hot indeed. Okay, finally, we have the Fatal 4-Way match for the NXT Championship. We've got the champion Trick Williams versus Javon Evans versus Ethan Page versus Sean Spears. I feel like we're talking about AEW again, TV. We've got two ex-AEW guys in here, Ethan Page and Sean Spears. Do you see either of them becoming NXT champion? What have you thought of them since they jumped over?
This is a weird one, because I'm pretty high up on Ethan Page. I think he's a great promo. I think he's solid in ring. I always like seeing him against, you know, an undersized babyface. Like, his matches with Darby always kind of shone, where he's just throwing someone around and showing his more, like, mean, aggressive side. And he wears nice shirts. So I do like Ethan Page. I think having him lose the first match against Trick Williams and not really having much of a follow-up on the NXT right after, he felt like an afterthought quite quickly. And that's why I would lean towards, you know, putting the title on him, because he could fall and just be nothing here. And I think you should go with him. And I think he would be a good heel champion and a good person for a Wes Lee to chase for the title. But also, I think it's kind of early to take it off of Trick. So I'm pretty torn. They would be the two I go for. Javon Evans has been so exciting to watch. And for a guy who's only 20 years old, hoping this guy, no injuries or whatever, hold him back. But the sky's the limit, really. He's got a real connection with the crowd. He's got quite a unique, authentic voice in all the promos he's been doing. The contract signing, I thought he outshone everyone this week. But it's not time for him quite yet. And, Sean Spears. We know why he's there. I think he's a good hand, right? Like, that's the thing. And in a thing like NXT, you need those veterans there to help the youngsters get better. So I completely understand why he's there. But he's pretty much lost every single big match he's had so far up until now. So his character doesn't seem that it's worthy of being in this match, really. And I don't see him at all winning this thing. I think they just feel maybe, he's from St. Catharines. He's close to Toronto. Like, let's put him in there. But for me, it will be between Ethan Page and Trick Williams. And I honestly think, if it was me, I'd go with Page here.
Yeah, we've got two Canadians in here, Ethan and Sean, both the ex-AW guys. I think that, so I'm not super high on Ethan Page. I do like him though, and I definitely appreciate his fashion. But I felt when they brought him in, the last big NXT show when he had the title match against Trick, I thought it was frankly disappointing. I don't think he made a showing of himself worthy of the hype around him. I thought his entrance into NXT was really cool, and I totally get why he jumped ship. Same with Sean Spears. But yeah, I don't think it was a good showing. I thought the follow-up was really bad. We just kind of end up with that. That was the night of the where they did the Cody bit backstage, was it?
Yeah.
I hate
if someone comes off a loss and they're not showing that at all. You're just joking around backstage with Cody Rhodes and Brian Pillman Jr. It's like, no, you should be pissed. You should be annoyed about this.
We care if they don't care. He should have been really mad. Sean Spears, absolutely good hand, but he's not someone that I see it ever really happening for. Even in NXT, they've got a lot of prospects who are younger that they're going to be investing in and wanting to put the title on. So I don't think it's going to be Sean. I think, good hand. He'll probably quietly move up to the main roster one day and just mid-card feuds. I do think Trick has been really good. Javon Evans absolutely has impressed me every time that I've seen him, but he is super, super young. Would you say he's the Julia Hart of NXT, the person that we're what age were they when such and such happened?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I do think you'd kind of want to go with that at some point. I think he is the guy that you'd want to be, the youngest NXT champion of all time. I just don't think quite yet.
Yeah, same. I would put it on Ethan Page, I think. I think you bring in a guy who was in AEW, who was also in TNA. And I think when you're going to, there's going to be more jumps like that, I would predict, before the end of the year. I really think so. And I think you should kind of make a statement with one of them, say we're kind of going with this guy. And Ethan, I think, is a really good fit for NXT. I don't see him ever being WWE champion. I could see him on a mid-card title for sure, but I can see him being a really good NXT champion and hanging around for a while as a bit of a measuring stick. And Trick will be fine. Trick has a lot of people behind him, so I think he'll be absolutely fine. So I think it's going to be Ethan Page, and I think that will make the kind of weird, not great match that he had last time not make more sense, but be like, oh, okay, I guess they wanted to crown him at Heatwave, crown him in Toronto. Maybe do you think Trick takes the pin? Or
no. I mean, that's always what's weird with four ways as well, is typically it is the champion that retains in these things. But No, I wouldn't have Paige pin Trick. And then obviously you can go to the rematch, whether it be on a TV special or the next PLE. I'd see him probably pinning Sean Spears, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too. Poor Sean Spears. Look, at least he's not wearing Tully Blanchard on his underpants in NXT.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're glad I reminded you. But like, whatever happens to him in NXT, like, he can be thankful that I doubt he's ever going to do an angle like that again.
Yeah.
Well, Davey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm sorry that I was weirdly frozen. You know what? I forgot to turn down my definition of my camera when I started. And then it just decided that everything on my entire computer will freeze. Like, there's not been a single thing I've been able to touch or close happen. So that's why I didn't just turn myself off or anything like that. It's just been like a nightmare. But yeah, I shouldn't have tried to be doing like the highest full high definition possible. That was a mistake by me. So sorry guys watching. That's why I haven't been able to read out any comments or put any comments on screen either. But I do appreciate all you guys sticking with me during that. And I appreciate you, Davey, for being on screen that whole time.
You're very welcome. I appreciate you asking me. It's nice. I enjoy a good chat.
Well, there's no one better to chat NXT with. And, you know, we got to represent for Toronto, especially us people that aren't actually from here, but have made it our home.
Yes.
please tell everyone, like, absolutely everywhere where they can find you and all the things be up to. And I think that you have something really great going on for people that are in Toronto for Money in the Bank that you might want to share as well.
Absolutely. So I work for Post Wrestling and my own podcast network, Poison Rana. And we are hosting an event before Money in the Bank on Saturday. Doors open at 2 p.m. at Wide Open. It's the best dive bar in the city. 139A Spadina. Come along. I also bartend in the city, so I've designed a wrestling-themed drinks menu, and we're going to have a bit of karaoke going on there. And if you're like me and you're interested in the Euros, yes, we will have the quarterfinals playing on at the bar as well before Money in the Bank. So if you're listening to this and you want to come along, the door is wide open for you. And you can get all the information as well by following our socials. Follow me at Davey Portman. Follow my podcast, Poison Rana, at Poison Rana Pod. My co-host, Braden Harrington, and I, we do weekly reviews, kind of wrapping up the whole week in the world of wrestling. And then on our Patreon, we look at things a bit more broadly. We just finished recording our review of the final WCW Nitro. We do a show called Was Next, where we go right back to the beginning of NXT, and we've been going through all the episodes in order. We just released our April 3rd, 2014 edition of NXT, which featured Sami Zayn versus Corey Graves in the main event. And then we also do random movie reviews, old paper reviews, and the like on there. So you can find that by going to patreon.com/poisonrana. And then I host Up Next, the NXT weekly review show on the Post Wrestling Network. We'll be doing our live review of Heatwave right after the show finishes. We'll be running over from the Scotiabank and going live with our thoughts on that. But you can find us every Tuesday at 10:15 on youtube.com/postwrestling.
Yes, guys, please go and give a follow to Poison Rana. And yeah, if you're in Toronto, no better place to be before Money in the Bank than Wide Open. Davey will be there. Braden will be there. I will be there. Benno will be there. He's still in Toronto. So we're going to have so much fun before Money in the Bank. And I'm like truly, truly excited for this show. But once again, Davey, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for watching. I will be back. When is the next pay-per-view? SummerSlam. We're going to SummerSlam.
We are.
Okay. So you will catch me next time on the Fightful Prediction Show, where I'll be talking about SummerSlam. Until then, enjoy. Happy Independence Day once again. Happy Money in the Bank weekend. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.